Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. We are so excited that you are here today. We give God praise, we give him honor, we give him glory. Bless him today. God is good, and he is merciful, and he is kind. We welcome you on behalf of our co-founder, Archbishop. Thank God for our pastor, Pastor Oshabar Hartman, and Lady E. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our Noonday Bible Study. Hallelujah. We are Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International, located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. Hallelujah. And we are Light of the World. And we are grateful to God for his mercy and his grace. And we thank God for who he is in our lives. Amen. So we thank God for another opportunity to bless his name and to glorify him. Because truly God is good and his mercy is everlasting. And we give him praise, honor, and glory. And we greet him, you, and especially you, in the mighty name of Jesus. We're going to open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started in the word of God. Hallelujah. Come on and clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Lord God, that we can call upon your name. We thank God that you, God, will give us the spirit, the word of God. Let us think upon the truth of our heart, like my family. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we walk in the light. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, I thank you, Lord. I bless you, God. I bless you and praise you and honor you, Lord. I pray that you will bless each and every person that is here, those that are on their way and those that are online today. God, bless them in any way that you see fit to bless them, Lord. Whatever they need or whatever we need, Lord God, we are praying right now, Lord God, hallelujah, that you will supply, God. Continue to bless this house, Lord God. Bless our leaders, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the anointing, resting, ruling, and abiding in this place. Lord God, where there may be some confusion as to what the word is saying to us, I pray, Lord God, that you will bring clarity today as we study this word, God. We thank you for it, and we give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, amen. Amen.
They haven't
We believe for it. Even though we don't see it, we still believe for it. Amen, because there is still an empty grave. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's still an empty grave. Hallelujah. And we thank God that because of that, we know that, amen, Jesus lives and he's coming back again. Welcome again, and we thank God for you, Eunice, especially you, being here today. We are in Romans, the 10th chapter. And we're going to begin today at verse 9. Verse 9, Romans 10 and verse 9. Now, we know this scripture as to lead somebody to Christ. We would ask them to quote the scripture because this is our declaration to accept our free salvation. Paul is telling this Roman church that the righteousness of God is not based on who you are. It's based on your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Your righteousness cannot compare to the righteousness of God, and you can't obtain it no other way than accepting the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so the section that we're getting into now is the reception of God's righteousness, how we receive God's righteousness. How do we get his righteousness? Paul began to tell them in the earlier verses how you can't get it, how you can't receive it, but now he's telling us, now you can get it. And he began to tell, like we were talking about last week, it's not about anything that you are doing, but it's just in your mouth. It's just that close. It's not about you going to heaven trying to bring Jesus back down to earth, not you going to hell and trying to do that, but it's now you in your mouth. And so he began to tell them, began to share with them in this verse 9, how do we receive God's righteousness? And so we're going to have Elder Davis to read verse 9 and 10. And like I said before, it still is our scripture that we use to lead somebody to Christ.
Okay. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto
salvation.
I ain't got on my glass. Key words in these two verses is confession. If what's in your heart gonna come out your mouth. If you can say it, if not in your heart, then if it comes out your mouth, God's not gonna accept it. Once you say it from your heart, then it impregnates the atmosphere. The devil hears it, and the devil knows and tell detect when what you're saying is from your heart. If you really mean it, see, I can buy my wife some Valentine candy, and just throw it on the dresser. Here your Valentine candy, and she knows that I just bought it because of Valentine and to keep her from fussing. But if I buy her a piece of bubble gum, and I give it to her, and I convince her that it's baby, I wanted to buy you more, but I only had the nickel that I found this morning, so I'm giving you this last nickel because I love you, and blah, blah, blah. And she believes it, then it's going to have a different impact on it. If I buy her a Mercedes just to shut them out, then taking her on a cruise or a two-day vacation, an outing, will mean more to her because it came from her heart than I did something And the devil knows all this stuff. He's been up there in heaven. And what he wants to do, he wants to, he knows the only way he can get it into our heart is to get into our head. He wants to get into our head and to get it activated, get us to say it. Say stuff that's against the word of God, the will of God. Say stuff that show that we are not truly saved and I hate you and all this stuff. And once he gets into our head, if he leaves it there long enough, it gets into our heart.
That's right.
And once it gets into our heart, that's when God raise up and look and get start paying some attention to what we say. So you can quote all the scriptures you want. You can quote the whole Bible.
Right.
But if it's not in your heart, then your mind will shut up. I've said before, our elders, half of them couldn't read. They worked in the fields and all this stuff. They didn't go to school. But they took one scripture at a time, and they kept memorizing it until they get into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So you can believe stuff long enough. You can believe a lie long enough until to you it becomes to your heart. People go to prison for that, like that kind of stuff. People die on death row for that kind of stuff. But when he says here, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, means, hey, I believe it. I believe what I saw. I believe what I heard. When the slaves came over here, they didn't know nothing about God and Jesus. But when they began to see stuff, and they used to go down by the river on the plantation, singing that old song, Let's Go Down by the River.
Mm-hmm.
And the slave master sitting on the front porch on the Sunday evening. Yeah, them old slaves, they get together lying there, but he didn't know what was going on. Because we're down by the river with salvation, healing, Jesus, comfort, peace, and all this stuff that he didn't know anything about. And that was their only hope. And it got started in one person, fell around to another person, and it went around the camp, went around this salvation, this Jesus that they never knew about when they was in Africa worshiping the stars and the cows and all that stuff. Now they begin to feel it. Like I said in Joseph, the devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So once he talking about here, and when you confess the Lord Jesus, you can't confess nobody else or no other God and get the result that we get from this, from this Bible, from this. So the more you confess it, the more you feel it, the more you see it, the more you're gonna live it. But when you confess, the same thing as speaking. When God says speak, and I find out more and more that the things of God, these scriptures, you got to say it. You got to say it out loud. Revelation 1 and 3 says, when you read this word, read it out loud. And when you read it out loud, and when you even hear it, when you confess it, it's going to go out and come back to you here. So what? So then faith come by hearing. When you read your book, you read it out loud. Even when you pray out loud. So you are hearing the word go out. And it's coming back to you. See, it starts with you first.
Right.
If you can't convince you about Jesus Christ, you ain't going to convince nobody else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say.
That's good. That's good. I kind of want to echo on what Elder David said. The word believe is an important word. It carries a lot of power. When you believe in something, can't no one stir in the opposite direction. To me, believing is holding firm to something that I know no matter what nobody else got to say. They may try to fool me, but they can't. Because deep down inside, you know, it's stuck. Like, say for example, I know I was born a female. You can't tell me I was born a guy. So if I know that, then, you know, when it comes to believing, you can't tell me that God is not who God says he is.
Good point.
That's good.
Yeah, I wanted to also agree with Elder Davis, you know, when I mean, I like the statement he just said, that once you believe in God, the God, you know, it's hard to convince somebody to believe in any other God. And I like that, but I'm also taking up on, you know, where it was talking about believing in your heart. And I think he was comparing this to like the slave. And I'm thinking of here, because I guess, you know, Paul in a sense was telling these Romans and telling these other people they were a slave unto the law. And like he said, when the slaves, when they were made slaves and they came over from the motherland and they were on these plantations, yeah, those plantations, masters and all that, they had the Bible and they were trying to back things up and they read it and this, that, and the other. The only difference was they, some of them, not all of them, when they read the Bible, they were just, let's say, taking it by the letter of the law. Mm-hmm. But because the slaves had something deeper and wanted something deeper to deliver them to believe in, they went on from the letter to the spirit of the law. And that believed in their heart. Mm-hmm. And so that of the law, you know, that they were counting on was not only able to free them, their mind, their heart, and their soul, but believing it strong enough eventually freed them from the masters and the plantation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. What David said, well, I have so much stuff going through my head right now. But for context, this section we're talking about is a reception of God's righteousness, how we receive God's righteousness. And it both one's heart and mouth are involved, okay? And so let's go by what Jesus said first. Let's deal with what Jesus said. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. And this is the King James Version of the Bible. And it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, things for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. That's what Jesus said. Then we go to Proverbs 4:23. Thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we have to be very careful what we say. Our words mean something. Our words does something, pulls us to where we will go. Because God created us in his image and his likeness, we create based on what we say. But the Bible says, you will, if you believe, without doubt, you will have what you say. So we have to be careful and mindful on what we say. In the context of the scripture, because now there is a conception of faith. There is a birthing of the reality that Jesus is the answer.
that my righteousness cannot compare to the righteousness of Christ. So right now I realize that my righteousness is not going to do. So the answer I found in my heart that Jesus is the only one who can make me right. In me, in my total being, no matter what I try to do, I could never earn the righteousness on my own. I could never get good enough to be right with God. The only way that can happen is I have to accept the finished work that Jesus did on the cross. And in order to do that now, it has to be birthed in me. Jesus told Nicodemus, except ye be born again, you will not even see the kingdom of God. And you must be born by the water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And so your spirit means your the depths of who you are have to come to a place where I cannot do this. I need God. I need Jesus. And so once that birth happens, it's got to happen in your heart. It can't happen in your head. Can't be thinking about it. Because like Sister Ollie said, if we know that we are female or male, but there are some people that their bodies tell them they are male, and they still So our heart, whatever's in there, will confuse what's up here or would demonstrate what's up here. Am I making sense? Yeah. Because now if I'm convinced in my head, in my mind, in my thinking, that I'm something I'm not. My heart is, that's why Jesus said the evil, the treasure of evil in your heart is going to make you think. And then you believe it, that nobody can convince you otherwise. And so, but truth has not knocked on your door, or you have rejected truth. Let's say it like that. You have rejected truth because your body tells you who you are. Clear. And so, but because of your thinking, not your heart now, your thinking that goes down to your heart and demonstrate through your actions. So we got to make sure that when we say we know God, it's from our heart. So he says in order to receive the righteousness of God, we first got to, if thou shalt confess, and you know, the Day of Atonement or whatever day we go to do our sacrifice, we had to go in the booth. We had to go and talk to the priest. We confess our fault to the priest. And then the priest would go in and offer our sacrifice and our confession. So now, if we confess now, our confession is not that we are right, but our confession is, I need thee, I need thee. Every hour, I need you. I need Jesus in my life. My confession is, I cannot get right on my own. I need the Lord. So as I confess, it's not a confession so you can get something. Is it because, you know, we can confess to get something. We come to church, we pay our tithes so we can get something. No. You pay it because you love God. You pay it because you have a relationship with God. You come to church because you have a relationship with God. You want to get closer to him. You do these things because of what God has done for you and who he is with in you.
not opposed to what you want from him. Because that's what the folks did when he did the miracles. When he had a mega church,
but as soon as he said, if you don't drink my blood and eat my body, you'll have no part of me. Guess what they did?
What you talking about? I want the bread. I want to eat. But I don't eat your body. I want to eat some natural stuff. They didn't get it. So we got to believe, confess that Jesus is Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, it's amazing to me that there's no mention of him being crucified. Now, his crucifixion was the redemption, with the payment for our sin, right? But the whole crux of the matter is he arose. Because just being dead was not it. So our salvation can't be just based on the crucifixion. Hello, somebody. I know when I went to New York, got the Holy Ghost and feeling good. I got the big old cross on my chest with Jesus on the cross. And they say, hey, he done come down off the cross. And I was like, what they talking about? But he's no longer on the cross. So in this confession, you understand that the crucifixion paid the debt. But if he didn't get up, it would have been null and void. Go ahead,
New American Standard translation. I like when it says that for which the heart of a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And so it's saying here, a believing heart results in righteousness, comes out of that believing heart, not like you say, first believing your mind, but the heart. And I don't know, it's just something I think about sometimes. Well, thank God is Jesus. Thank Jesus is God, because something must happen. Now, I don't know. This is just theology. I don't know if anything happens molecularly or physically or whatever to the heart, but somehow God is able to tell a believing heart from an unbelieving heart.
Yeah.
And the heart that believes unto righteousness, he gives them that. Like you say, without him, we couldn't be righteous. And I was just like, God, you know, even though I've heard some things and some scientific proofs of, you know, really faith-believing Christians that go in for operations and go in for this, that, and the other, it's something about in their internal things. I won't get into these electrodes and lights, how they have see more of that in a saved Christian body, so they say. I'm not saying that is a true thing, but I'm glad that Holy Ghost, Father, and Jesus knows what a believing heart looks like, and so we can't judge somebody else's heart. Yeah, we got enough to take care of our own.
That's why repeating this.
Yeah.
Wouldn't save you. How many people have repeated the sinner's prayer? Never got saved.
Never reached the point.
Because it ain't about just saying; it's about confessing from your heart. Believe it in your heart. You've got to believe in your heart. You can say something all day long, but if you don't believe it, you know, we say things because sometimes it sounds good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We say it because the preacher said, repeat after me. And all we did was repeat and didn't repent.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
We repeat and didn't repent.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
we repeat and word for word. You got it down. Mm-hmm. We never repented. You're for your sin.
Mm-hmm.
That Sunday afternoon, when that man said, "Who want to be saved?" I felt sorry. I couldn't understand why I cried like a baby. I am so sorry for sinning against you. That's repentance.
And I know this may be, I just thought, well, I didn't just think of it. I may be a little deep, but like you say, that's repentance. And that's why in the word, you know, when Satan was trying to tempt Jesus, yeah, he knew scripture. He quotes scripture. You know, people quote scripture better than we can, scripturians. They know it.
Yeah.
But, you know, no matter what Satan was trying to tempt Jesus with, and no matter what Lucifer was trying to do when he was kicked out of heaven, they could never be saved, no matter how much scripture they know, because they could never have, or he could never have, a repentant heart.
Oh, my.
That's right. He could never have, he could quote scripture, and of course, Jesus came back, you know, with scripture and quoting some of it right. But, you know, that's why, you know, people can quote scripture up and down, chapter, verse, and line, and I say, oh, my God. You know, I used to wish I could just do that. But the thing is, I know God. I got to know God. I got to know his word. And so those are, like I say, Satan could never have a repentant heart. Lucifer could never
have
that repentant heart.
That's right.
Never see salvation.
Awesome.
Amen.
Stephen makes you want to do right even when we don't want to do right. It'll make you get back on the right track because, no, I won't go there.
Go ahead.
So, you know, sometimes we go through things in life and it makes you want to do the opposite of what you really need to be doing. And that's why I said what I said, because knowing God will always stir you in the right direction. And he got a way of doing it, whether I want to do that or not. And I thank God for that, because, you know, it makes you feel good when you can say to God, "Lord, that's one test I passed." Because then the other time I would have went left, but he had me going in the right direction.
This word says, now, one more episode, verse 48.
What?
Verse 48.
Okay.
It's interrogating.
Oh, okay.
Crime. And when they come in, they're so bold. I didn't do that. I wasn't there. I was at home. I was admitted at that. And soon as the evidence shows that, is it you? All of a sudden now, there is a confession. Oh, my God. Now, confession, what that does is you lined up, God Almighty, with truth. You give in. When you confess, you give in. And you say, "Hey, I must confess, I'm guilty." So when you confess the Lord Jesus and you come in line with the truth of God, now salvation comes. When those guys get caught up and they realize that, hey, no matter what I say, can't disprove the evidence. And so they have to then line up with, well, yeah, I did it.
Thinking like in that language, they come clean. But in our language, confession, it cleanses us.
Yeah.
Gets rid of dirt filth so we can.
That's what I'm telling you. I felt like,
I'm sorry.
If you really think about how this confession is, it ain't just repeating the word. It's coming in line with, now because, again, my righteousness is like filthy rags. God, so in order to become right now, I have to get washed.
Yeah.
The blood of my, and come clean.
Right. And I think of the word conscience.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have that conscious mind as well,
yeah,
so you can confess, yes, and come clean.
Mm-hmm. 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 So confession, I was like, oh my God, yes, Lord. It's more than just repeating what somebody's saying.
Yes.
Admit it. I'm guilty. It's admitting I'm wrong. And so when we say confess, sometimes people just think it's just something I'm saying. I'm,
yeah,
repeating. I'm, yeah,
mm-hmm,
I repeat the sentence prayer, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you confessed your fault?
Mm-hmm.
What did James say? Confess your fault one to another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got to confess. And so confess, not with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, but you got to believe in your heart. They got to go together. They can't. You can't separate them. You can't just confess and then don't believe. Because what that belief does is make you confess. Because those fellas, when they see the evidence, they ain't got no choice. Yeah, that was me. I mean, it's on video. You on video, then your DNA is it.
Okay.
Sure. You got to confess. You got to confess. So when you say, when the Bible say all of sin, I'm guilty.
Okay.
You got to confess. But until you get to the place in your heart realize that you have sinned, because people who sin don't think they're sinning.
Amen.
I'm a good person. I don't blame nobody but
myself. It's a guy the other day again.
That's what everybody. I'm a good one.
Yeah.
But again, no good except God righteousness is good. When the young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Good master," what Jesus said? Don't call me good. Ain't none good but the Father. This is Jesus saying this.
I know. Wow.
How can we ever think we're good?
Yeah.
If Jesus gonna say, "Do not call me good," ain't none good but the Father. So when the word comes to show you, you are filthy rat,
mm-hmm,
you gotta confess.
Mm-hmm.
Smell it up. I'm smelling it up.
Hey.
I'm stinking in God now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's when you confess. I need you to wash me.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to purge me.
Mm-hmm.
That I should be clean. David found himself.
Yeah.
He said, "Create in me a clean heart,
oh
God."
Yeah.
And renew.
Yeah.
Purge me. Oh my God. You know when you purge something, it's like putting lye in it at this. Getting all the scum, everything out of it. That's a confession. David confessed.
Mm-hmm.
But David didn't confess until the word found him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He thought everything was good. That's how people are today. He's a king, right?
Mm-hmm.
Living long.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he say, people got to do. So he was thinking about he did anything wrong. But when he heard the story, and you know, Nathan had to be skillful.
Because
you can't talk to a king any kind of way. So he says, God loves us so much that he allows Nathan to bring a story to David to get to David's heart.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking about heart. Listen to it. When David felt that this man only had one, and that kick was taken away from him, David felt it in his heart. Oh, my God. Why would they do that to him? He said, "He ought to be killed." Look at that. Nathan said, "Thou art the man."
Thou art the man.
And it smote David where?
Yep.
That's where it's at.
Yep.
So Some folks get guilty and stuff and be in their head, never got to their heart.
Yeah.
Guilt is not confession.
Amen.
A lot of folks get guilty. They ain't done this, they ain't done that. But the man said something that the preacher, they already told him that these folks didn't do nothing, and they want to get in the casket when at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay, it wasn't so bad. And they ain't did nothing. It's guilt. And you can tell it ain't real because it's guilt. But when you sorrow, people can know that this person felt this for that person because it's going to be real. And so we got to confess. We got to understand what confession is, that in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. If you confess and believe that, the Bible say not maybe, could, or thou shalt be saved. Ain't no doubt.
And we used to be on the morning bench back in the old days, and we used to have to sit up front and, you know, be tarry so long until you feel that the Lord have called you up. Well, I remember my aunt used to ask some of us, did the Lord lead you off? No, I just walked off because my friend
uh-huh.
did. No, I just did this because of this and that. See, the Lord, you all, I'm saying this because what you all was talking about the heart. The Lord do know our heart. We can put on the show, but even when we go up in front to confess about something, the Lord know if I'm going up there for show.
Mm-hmm.
So some of us go up there because I want you to see my outfit. He know if I'm going up there for that reason.
Right.
He know the real reason that we are going up there.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I may be trying to be phony, I can go up there being phony. The Lord will flip me in front of everybody to show me up. If that's what he wants
to
do, he'll do whatever he wants to do. But I'm just saying this is, I'm not going to go there. No, I better not go there. Thank you.
Well, you know, even when we come up, we come up because we did because of somebody else. Sometimes that might be a way of God getting you to be up front.
Yeah.
And then he can prick your heart while you did. Because you're just innocent in doing it. You're not doing it to get something. You're doing it because somebody said, let's go. And you just went with it. But some people come for prayer because they want to be seen. They want to have a testimony. And you know, back in Florida, you know, we had testimony service. And people try to out-testify the other person.
What?
And create some stuff that never happened.
Lord have mercy. I'll be scared.
To have a better testimony.
I will be scared.
And that was one thing of it. But I'm saying God is not able to do it, that you got to lie about it. That's another thing I couldn't see. He's able to do anything.
Yeah.
So why do you have to lie about what he did? It used to blow my mind that people would just make up stories about what God did. And it's so obvious what you said.
But they don't realize they're lying on God. You stand up front lying on God?
They don't know how dangerous it is.
Mm-hmm. I never heard, we didn't have it in the churches that I came and grew up in, but I'm just saying, just to do that, you know, and no liar shall enter. I'm like, wow, you don't realize what you're doing?
Well, the spirit of pride don't let you think.
I'll get you.
The spirit of pride don't let you think. Because it's about you. You ain't thinking about God, you think about you. You want to pray.
You know what I noticed from being born again? Sometimes we as Christians, we get jealous of each other in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And we serve in the same
God.
But we get jealous of one another. Mm-hmm. Okay, Elder Heath got up there and said, just let me stand up because I can show them that I can do it better, or I got it better. Mm-hmm. Why do we act like that? I mean, we're serving the same God.
Mm-hmm.
I should be happy for you, happy for you. I'm not, if I'm jealous of your problem, I need to stay on my knees more and get in my word more, and that'll help me out.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a competition race. We're in this together. But I noticed that, not just here, before I even came.
Yeah. The thing is when you're in a church and it requires you to do testimony, it may end up that you're going to do a testimony that ain't fitting. But if you're in a church that required to do testimony. Now, right here, we need to do testimony.
Okay. Okay.
But we required to do that every Sunday.
Like you said, how people get up and you know they are falsely speaking. We call that person out? Did we just allow them to stand before when we know it's not true? Are we wrong for just accepting that?
When you say we, who are you talking about?
Like elders or the pastor or the leaders of the church. Did we allow that to continue to go on without?
I need more clarity.
I'm not saying bring that person to the forefront in front of the congregation. Say the person goes up, he's giving a testimony, and we know it's not correct.
How do we?
Okay, give us. Say, you know it's not correct.
I know it's not correct. Say, God has blessed me with $50 million as of last night, that kind of thing.
Mm.
And I'm going to spread it here and spread it there, you know, and pay my tithes and do that type of thing.
You know you were with them last night, and they knew you know that.
I knew I was with them last night, and I was sitting here listening at the lies that's being told inside the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What should I do? How should I handle that?
Call
them aside. That's what I'm saying. Just, I'm not saying blast them out in front of everybody, that's right. Okay.
What are you saying?
I'm not. That's what I was asking. Not just blast them out before the congregation,
but
me as a child of the Most High, I should call them aside and say, "Now you know that was not right. Why would you go up there and do that?"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what
okay.
I was saying.
And the thing is, it's a ministering moment for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're seeking something. They're crying out for something.
Okay.
The only reason why somebody would do that is they are crying out. They need attention. Something is going on with them. So that's a time to minister for them, not to scold them, not to say, you know better than that. You should know. What's really going on with you? Because, you know, I know this didn't happen last time. What's going on with you? Why would you say something like that? And because everything we do is about building kingdom stuff. Because if you get in front of the church and tell that didn't happen, now people who sitting in the crowd, all of them lie. Everybody's in the church. You understand what I'm saying? So it's going to put a stain on the body of Christ. We got to protect the body. Time God shows us something about anybody. It's to help them, not to stamp them in the ground.
Amen.
Just to help them. If you see something about me or anybody, come and say, listen, I see this, and I think let's go pray. Because you're better than this. The devil trying to get you. He's trying to destroy you, and we ain't going to let this happen. You can chase 1,000, but with me and you together, we can chase 10,000. Let's go get them.
Yep.
That's what we need to do. Not just, God, why you did that? No. Ministering moment. That's why we see things. That's why we hear things. That's why God show us stuff to minister. Okay? So that's what we need to do.
And then you have to look at it from the both the two sides. Just can't just look at it from that because when you go to a person, it isn't necessarily that they are going to receive you, okay? So you got to look at both sides. If they don't receive you, you go on and you say what you're going to say, and you just let them know you'll be praying for them, and you keep praying for them because at some point they will make that change, probably. So you have to make sure that you understand that it could be two-sided, okay?
So verse 10 is, for with the heart men believe, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we confess now because we believe that God raised from, meaning our salvation plan is complete. Mm-hmm. He completed it by getting up. Now he is coming back to receive it under his blood. So now we could confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. And the Bible says we shall be saved. Mr. Joel.
And we have to have that faith.
Joel 2 and 32 says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be, for in the Mount of Zion, Jerusalem shall be delivered, as the Lord has said, in the remnant whom God shall call.
Mm.
If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
And when you
confirm with your mouth the Lord Jesus.
When you are calling upon the Lord, that is that faith. Now you are confessing, now you are believing, and now the faith has kicked in and you are calling upon God to do what he had already promised. And you see it in the word, and God is speaking to you. Whenever a person gets saved, it's not about you and I. We're doing whatever God has told us. If we are speaking to someone and they get saved while we are talking to them or whatever, it is the Spirit of God that came in now. The Spirit of God has came in and started speaking to that person. That is why they get saved, because of the Spirit of God that comes in. And we can, when we believe, when we confess, and we believe, now we can have faith in what the word has said.
The Spirit of coming first, but no man can come to the Father except the Spirit.
Draw us in. That's right.
The word that you say,
mm-hmm.
out of Spirit,
I'm saying.
Translate the word
mm-hmm.
in their heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
That, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Words are so powerful.
Yeah.
Do you know, and you know, back in the days, I worked dogs, man, where's my dog?
Yeah.
That's the biggest lie there. But do you know, in order for you to hear a word, that the sound wave has to push the atmosphere back to your word? Now, Jim,
mm-hmm.
any and everybody has that power to push
mm-hmm.
the atmosphere back to the sound wave. Now, what do you think about the word of God?
Yeah.
I mean, anybody's word, push that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you speak God's word,
mm-hmm.
I could just picture that
in my left mind.
Just,
Can I go back to what she was saying about the morning bench? I was thinking you guys don't even know about the morning bench. But yeah,
But the thing is, I grew up in that era, and we had to sit on that front row. But I'll tell you what really helped me, not just being in that church and coming and sitting on that front row and listening to the preacher. I may never have gotten it. But when I went home, my mother was explaining to me what I need to have been doing. It was like a 5-day revival or something. And we sit up there. And when them 5 days is up, you need to be on came off of that seat. You should be off of that seat. So a person may just decide they're just going to walk off of that seat. But the thing is that for me, we had my mother that was explaining to us what we need to do in order to be saved. So that's how we did it. Yeah.
I was thinking about after you saying, you know, you're talking, and when you get that believing and when it actually come in, not just salvation, but the Holy Ghost, when you really get it, I can imagine her, part of her testimony, you know, I remember years ago. The Holy Ghost out the bedroom and the bed shaking and the floor or something.
Oh,
you did.
But
that was Holy Ghost. That
wasn't when I got the Holy Ghost. That's what some people thought. What happened was it was a real shaking. I'm talking was an earthquake or something. It was an earthquake. I'm glad you're saying that so I can say, we was here and we was having a session with Bishop Ruth. It was a class. And she had told us something about the Holy Ghost and all of this. We already knew about the Holy Ghost, but she had told us something. So that night, an earthquake happened somewhere in Georgia. And everything was shaking in my house. And I thought that it was the Holy Ghost working on me. Because there was a second time. The stuff on my dresser was shaking, and I woke up in my sleep.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was related to the Holy Ghost and what she had said in the class.
Okay.
But no, that wasn't. I got the Holy Ghost when I got saved.
Okay.
But because the people, let me turn it off. But because the people didn't really understand all of that to explain it to us. And I ended up with a person that was a friend of mine that told me, everything was going fine with me. I wasn't in my distress of anything. And so one day, but that was the seed that was planted.
Yeah.
Because after that, I took on saying, what about seeing me get the Holy Ghost? Because when I first got the Holy Ghost, I didn't know what to do with it. Yeah. I don't know if y'all understand that, but people do not understand certain things. Let me tell you when I didn't let it go. Let me let y'all go. was at Pure Baptist with the late Archbishop Emily Smith, and Bishop Ruth had been praying with me about this situation. And so this particular Sunday, I'm sitting there, and Bishop Emily used to always pray before the service starts. I mean, the service would start, but before the preaching and everything,
yeah,
he would always gather everybody to pray. That was a great time to meet up. And so that particular day, he started praying with us, and the Holy Ghost hit me. And I went on up there, and he told us, up on this, and it was hot, too. If anybody remembers, it was so, the cell, the podium was hot. So I went up there. I got him around his neck. I couldn't even touch the floor.
Wow.
When I got up around his neck, I'm just up there. I'm just kidding. I'm just banging it.
What?
And so this roof was standing down on the floor level. I just jumped off the stage.
I'm crazy.
It used to be how I just jumped off the stage. And I was just going up the church. And I was just going. That, let me tell you, that time, I did not let it go.
Okay.
I kept it. Yeah, I already had it. But I began to understand it and tried to learn more about the Holy Ghost. And then when Ms. Davis started teaching us, we done left from over there, we went to the table.
Yeah.
And Ms. Davis started teaching us, they said the intercessory prayer and the Holy Ghost. And I said, Lord, you must it. I'm going to get it done. Because I said, if you're fighting, tell me wrong. And I knew that God was with me and that the Holy Ghost had been in my life ever since. The Holy Ghost had been with me ever since I got born again. But I just didn't know what to do with me. So that's my thing.
Around his neck.
I did. I was holding him.
You must have been glad to
come in
the home. You must have been there. You know what?
Anyway,
it wasn't their own church.
Right.
Well, I'm saying that's what has taken place. Because, you know, that's not normal. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But I have seen stuff where this was a lovely kitchen where there was some feeding of when I was. She fell on the floor and went like a snake.
We done seen that too.
Amen. I'm here to hear that.
Amen. Amen. Come on and clap your hands for Jesus.
Amen.
We thank God for this word. Hopefully we get to the next verse, verse 11 next week. No, we did 9 and 10. No, we stopped at 8. Yeah. So we did nine and 10. So next week is 11. So also I want us to give your offering out. Those who are giving, give your offering. Also to. Okay, I also wanted to pray for Brother Fred is on the call, and I wanted to pray for Deacon Fred Taylor. He's on, so I wanted to pray for him that God would continue to heal his body. God is working out, and he had a birthday on last week, so we thank God for him. And so
we want to pray for Keisha and Gloria and their mother and daughter. Is this your family?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You say I'm praying for salvation and also for healing for Gloria and Keisha.
Okay, you want to go ahead and pray.
Okay.
Let's stand and join our minds and our hearts together. Mr. Fred and Gloria and Keisha.
Okay. Father God, we bless you right now, God. We glorify you, Lord
God.
You are great. You are awesome, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God, we just thank you right now, Lord God. We just bless you right now, Lord God. That you are the creator, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God.
Thank you,
Lord God. We thank your Son, Lord God, that we might have life right here on this earth and eternity,
Lord
God. We thank you for it right now, God. Thank you, Lord God, for being our peace. Being
yes,
our joy,
yes,
being our righteousness,
yes,
oh God.
Yes,
we thank you, Lord God,
thank
for salvation
Lord.
On today, Lord
thank
God.
You, Lord.
Salvation, Lord
thank
God.
You, Lord.
Salvation,
thank
Lord
you,
God.
Thank you, Lord.
That if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart
Jesus.
That Christ was raised
hallelujah.
From the dead,
hallelujah.
Just
hallelujah.
For us, Lord God. We shall be saved,
thank
oh God.
You,
so God, we thank you,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
We bless you right now,
thank
Lord
you,
God.
Lord,
that we speak salvation. In Keisha's house and in Ms. Gloria's house
yes,
right
Lord.
Now in the
yes,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus
yes,
and not only salvation, but God, we seek healing
yes,
right
yes,
now
yes,
in
the
name
of
Jesus. God,
Jesus.
I pray right
thank
now
you, Lord.
That
thank
your
you.
Spirit go in
yes,
and now
Lord.
Capture
yes,
their hearts right now
yes,
in, the
in the name
of Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Lord
thank
God,
you, Lord.
We are believing it because we know, Lord God, that you are able to do exceedingly
thank
abundantly
you,
and above
thank
anything
you,
that we could even ask or think about,
do it,
God.
Do it,
so, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, I pray, Lord God, from this day forward,
yes,
they will never be the same,
yes,
oh God, that they will confess you, Lord God, hallelujah,
yes,
and healing shall take place, oh God. We thank you for it, Lord God. We
thank
you for this teacher. We thank you for this
Gloria.
Hallelujah, 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 hallujah, Lord God. We are believing that it's done. Supply to every need, God, according to your riches and glory by Christ. Oh God, we thank you for it. God, we thank you for Deacon Fred Taylor, Lord God.
Yes, Lord,
we
God.
Thank you for the anointing
yes,
upon his life
you,
right
Lord.
Now
thank
in
you,
the name of Jesus.
Thank
we
you,
know, Lord.
Lord
God, that
thank
he
you,
is a man of God.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, thank
that searching
you,
after Lord. Your heart, oh God,
thank
right
you,
now in the,
in the
name
of
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank
we are calling
Lord.
Upon you right
yes,
now, Lord.
Lord.
And we are believing before we
yes,
even call upon you that you have already answered our prayer. And we are asking you to heal his body
yes,
right now from the crown
yes,
of his head to the sole of his
feet. Yes,
I pray right now
yes,
that you give him peace.
Thank you,
give him joy and
you,
his family.
Thank you, Lord.
Joy, Lord God,
thank
in the
you,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray, Lord God,
thank
hallelujah,
thank
that
you,
he'll be a testament
yes,
right here
yes,
in the light
Lord.
Of the
yes,
world.
Yes,
hallelujah,
yes,
that Jesus God is a healer.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes.
And that the Holy Ghost is real.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. So
thank
God,
you, Lord.
Thank you for that
thank
healing
you, Lord.
Right
thank
now.
Thank you, Lord.
Mr. Fred Taylor, Lord.
Yes,
we are praying, Lord God, that you supply his every need, God,
yes,
whatever he's standing in need of today,
you,
Lord.
Jesus.
We are praying, Lord God, that you you would give it to them, oh
yes,
God.
Yes,
we thank you, Lord
thank
God.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Move in a fear, in a
yes,
doubt,
yes,
in a concern
yes,
right
yes,
now,
God.
Lord God. We speak peace.
Yes.
We speak peace.
Yes.
We
yes.
speak joy
yes.
right now.
Yes.
Hallelujah, right
yes.
now,
yes.
Lord God.
Thank
we
you, Lord.
Thank you right now,
thank
Lord God.
You, Lord.
That you're able to do it, oh
yes,
God.
Lord.
You're
yes,
able
Lord.
To do it,
yes,
God.
Lord.
And we are believing you, Lord
yes,
God. Bless
Lord.
You, Christ, Lord. Bless
yes,
your Lord God
yes,
in a mighty way,
yes,
Lord God.
Thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord God,
thank
for her
you,
being a great caretaker,
yes,
oh God.
Lord.
Thank you right now, Lord God.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Father, we pray for every doctor, every nurse, and every person that will lay their hands upon him.
Yes.
God, that their hands will be anointed.
Yes,
not
Lord.
Only that, but their heart and their mind will be anointed.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord.
That they will know exactly what they are doing. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
God,
thank
we
you, Lord.
Give you glory, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we give you praise,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord.
We are believing you, God.
Thank
hallelujah.
You, thank you, Lord.
That you are able to do exceedingly,
thank
abundantly,
you,
and above
thank
what we are asking
thank
on today.
You,
so, God, we give you glory. We give you praise.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you. Oh, God, we ask you to bless this offering, oh, God. We ask you to bless our minds and our spirit, oh, God, the word we heard today. Oh, God, let it come alive in us in the name of Jesus. God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Offerings.
Hallelujah.